God has a plan for you. I don't know where you are in life. Maybe things are going pretty good for you. Maybe they're not. Maybe you're dejected and rejected. Feel like that nothing's going right, that I'm not getting where I want to be, or maybe my life's passed me by, or I can't wait for my life to begin. Whatever of those scenarios might be yours, somewhere we fit in this line of what's going on with my life. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And I want you to know that God has a plan for you. Number one, He's not going to force it on you, but He has it for you. I saw Brent Howell walk in just a little bit. Brent's got a plan for Harris. I don't know if y'all know Harris. He's 13 days old. He's already in the modeling business. He's been modeling Southern Point shirts here for a couple of weeks. Brent's got a plan for him. He's going to be doing some stuff, and he's a pretty good-looking model. Tell you what, that's the way to go. They don't sell stuff for babies, but if you want a big shirt for a baby, you can go get that shirt. You got a plan for it. Now, I don't know if he's going to follow his daddy's plan or not, because sometimes, you see, we don't follow the plans that others have for us. When a baby's born, some see presidents, some see football players, some see beauty queens. But the truth is, if you're going to follow a plan, let's follow God's plan. Doesn't matter what man's got planned, but God's the kind of creator that doesn't force His plan on you. In fact, it was just that kind of thing that Rob read for us just a minute ago in Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verse 11 again specifically. He's talking about Israel, but I think it can apply to you and to me just as well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans for you that are good, to give you blessings, not destruction. Plans for your life to prosper, not for it to flounder. So I want to talk about this morning God's plan for you, and I want you to know right now that I believe with every fiber of my being that God has a plan for you individually to be successful. Somebody says, well, are you talking about my bank account? Not necessarily. There's a lot of things different than this world's bank account. I don't think God's going to be mad if you have a good bank account, if you use it wisely and follow His plan. Does God plan where you're going to go to college? Well, I don't know that that's what I'm talking about either, but God has a plan for your life, plans that you be prospered. Plans that you grow, plans that are good for you, not that harm you. So when we find ourselves in trouble, one thing we know is that's not God's plan. When we find out that we've messed up, it wasn't God's plan. It's where we messed up somewhere, where we turned and got outside of God's will. God wants to bless us. I think that's something you have to keep in mind. God knows, He knows that we need a plan. So before the world began, He already had a plan for us, and it was to bless us, not to harm us. Look with me, if you will, at Psalm 46 and verse 1. For we're reminded that God is our refuge and a very present help in the time of trouble. He's promised never to leave you alone, to always provide you a way of escape, that there's no sin that's tempted you, that you cannot overcome, that He won't provide a way of escape, that you're not stronger than, that Jesus hasn't already passed through the gates of hell to show that the grave could not hold Him, so death has no power over you or no power over me. God's plan is for us to live forever. Amen? But I want you to go over to Hebrews with me. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer says, talking about Jesus, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Have you ever needed a helper? I remember when I was growing up, occasionally my dad would say, you're going to be my helper today. I never really knew what that meant, but I was always excited that my dad wanted me to help him. God says that He is going to be my helper. He's going to give me strength. He's going to speak when I don't know what to say through the Holy Spirit, making intercession with groanings that cannot be understood. He's going to give me life. He's going to give me heaven. He's going to give me a way to overcome sin. He said, I want to be your helper. I'm never going to leave you alone. He's going to be a very present help in the time of trouble. So with those few things in mind, that I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I know that God wants to help you. I don't know what your plan is, but I know God has a better one. I know God's plan is for you not to hurt, but to be helped, for you to be blessed. So I want to talk about discovering God's plan for your life. The first thing you have to know is who God is. He is the Creator. He is the eternal, the omnipotent God who always has been and always will be. That makes a difference because God has a plan. He created us. He knows us. He knows what we're capable of. And He's not planned anything for us that we cannot do. But then something else we need to know is that God is able. He's our Creator. He's all-powerful. And He's able to do whatever He said. I know whom I have believed. We talked about that in Sunday school just a little bit. I'm persuaded that He is able. My God is able. And then what Jeremiah said when he quotes the words of the Father, he said, I have a plan for you. So I know who God is, I know what He is, I know what He gets to do, I know He wants good for me, and I know He has a plan for me, but He will not force that plan on me. And so I have to find out what God's plan is for my life. Oh, I know God has a plan of salvation, and yes, that's for everyone, but God has a plan for you to be and to do and to accomplish in His kingdom things that He has specifically planned for you. Things that you need to accede to, things you need to strive to, things that you need to become and do. And so I want to take you back over to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, there's going to be a story there. It's kind of a fish story. These Bible fishermen fished all night and caught no fishes. What a way to begin a fish story. The crowds were wanting in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Crowds were wanting to hear Jesus. They were pressing in. And He had to come down by the sea. When He came down by the sea, there were some fishing boats there. There were two of them. By the way, they were partners in the fishing business, these two boats. One had a man, we know him as Simon Peter. And the other boat had his partner's brothers, the Sons of Thunder. And Jesus is walking along, and the crowd is pressing in so much, He needs a little space where He can talk to them. And He sees two boats, and Jesus has a plan that you're going to be surprised to see unfold. Some questions for you to think about, if you will. Why did Jesus pick Peter's boat? I think because Jesus had a plan for Peter. And why were the other two there? Because He had plans for them as well. They're going to be involved in the story as well. And so here's what He says. He says, I want to borrow your boat and push off a little bit from the shore where I can talk to these people. It's kind of like, next week let's all meet at the shore and y'all get me a boat. I'll preach from the boat. He wanted distance because the crowd was so mashed around Him, they couldn't hear Him, they couldn't see Him. It's a watery pulpit, if you will, that He goes offshore, and He's on that boat, and He begins to teach the multitudes of people. It seems only reasonable to me that Peter heard what Jesus was teaching. It was his boat. And here's the beginning of the plan, because when He finishes teaching the multitudes, He tells Peter, launch out into the deep. Down into the deep water, I'm going to teach you how to fish. I'm going to show you how to fish. I'm going to let you see what it is to catch a lot of fish. So the question is, what do we do when God calls? When God places His plan before us. I don't know that God calls in a verbal way, the way that's going on in this particular way. But God puts a lot of open doors in front of us, doesn't He? Do we always go through them? God said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. How are we doing? God said to repent and be baptized, and there are those who have that opportunity. God says even a cup of cold water given in His name does not go unnoticed. How are we doing when it comes to that? So I began to go back into the Bible, and I remember last week I mentioned Samuel when he was having this dream, and he went to Eli, and Eli finally says to Samuel, when you hear this voice, you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. If you remember the story that the Lord comes again the third time and Samuel indeed says, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. And I'm wondering if we have that same attitude. God, I'm listening to what you want for my life. I'm prepared to respond to what it is that you need me to do. I'm ready to be your servant. It was Saul of Tarsus in his conversion process in Acts chapter 9 who comes face to face with Jesus on the road to Damascus there. And the light shines about him, and the voice from the light comes out where Jesus Himself speaks and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You remember the story, how they have a conversation. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And one of the greatest parts of that story to me is found in verse 6. For the Bible says that Saul of Tarsus was trembling, and he was astonished. Listen to it, it's coming. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? God has a plan for your life. Have you asked God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do I need to be busy about in my life right now? He told him to rise and go into the city, and he was converted. And you remember he was baptized into Christ and became a great servant. Later he says he was separated from his mother's womb for this very purpose. You see, God had a plan for Paul, the great apostle. It was in Acts chapter 2, those thousands of souls were there. Peter got up and he preached the first sermon after the resurrection of Christ. He says, "This same Jesus whom you've crucified as God made both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What's the plan? Where do we go from here? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Have your sins washed away. Be added to the body of Christ. It's a promise given to you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." What shall we do? We need to follow the plan that God has for our lives. Same thing happens in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas in the prison, we talk about it often, in the inner prison in the midnight. And the earthquake comes and all the prisoners are freed, and the jailer comes in about to kill himself, and they tell him not to harm himself, and he takes Paul and Silas out in the middle of the night, midnight, and he washes their stripes in the river. But during that process, he asks the questions, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's the plan?" People, I want you to know the plan is plain. The question is whether we are working the plan. The question is whether or not we're responsive to what God has planned for our lives. And so the first thing I think we have to do, once we decide that there is a plan, is we have to choose to follow the plan. It makes sense, doesn't it? What's the plan? Luke chapter 5, the plan is launch out into the deep. And Peter, I'm sure Peter must be related to me somehow, because Peter says some of the things that he wishes later on that he probably hadn't have said. You remember the conversation, don't you, that Peter goes into in verse 5, he says, "Master, we've toiled all night, and we've caught nothing." He didn't just say, "We gave it a shot." He said, "We have been out there all night. Here, let me start with an excuse. God has a plan. Let me start with an excuse." Oh, don't get too hard on Peter. God has great plans for him, and he's going to be used. But he almost answered the question wrong, didn't he? But he's not the only one that does that. You remember in Exodus chapter 4, God came to Moses. He says, "I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And they have this long discussion. Verse 10, starting there or so and going on down, Moses says to the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue." And it unfolds a little bit more, but I want you to look at verse 14. In verse 14, the Bible tells us the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You understand why God got mad with Moses? Because God had a plan and he said, "I can't do it. I don't speak good enough. I'm slow. I stutter. I don't form my words right. I sometimes get my pronunciation is not as good as somebody else's. I'm just probably not the person you need to do this." God has a plan, and if he has a plan, it's doable, people. God doesn't plan things we can't do. But you remember our text, don't you? He said, "I have a plan to bless you and not to harm you." God's plan is never to hurt you. Gideon had one of those moments. It was during the period of the judges, and Gideon was actually hiding, threshing out the wheat when God came to him. And Gideon said, "Lord, I don't know about this plan. In fact, I'm not even sure it's you, so let's have a test." Can you imagine talking to the God of heaven saying, "God, let me give you a test to see if you're really saying this or not"? But that's the advantage of hindsight. I think sometimes we don't even test him. We just don't even do what he wants us to do. So Gideon says to God in Judges chapter 6 and verse 36, "If you will save Israel by my hands, as you said, look, I'll put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and if the ground is dry all around, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." God, you got a plan. Let me test this out to see if it's really you, because I don't want to do this plan if it's not your plan. And so here's a test. As if God needs to be tested. But God uses Gideon. Even when he said, "Let's do this one more time, God." He finds out that the fleece is just like he said. He wrings the water out of it in verse 38. And in verse 39, bless his heart, Gideon says, "God, don't be angry with me. But let me speak one more. Let me test, I pray you, just once more. God, I know you got a plan, but let me see if you really mean it or not. I know you're probably like me, sitting there saying, Gideon, don't do it. Gideon, it's time to be quiet. Do what God says. But how many opportunities have we had God's plan thwarted in our lives, and we said, let me try this instead, let me do this instead, let me go this way instead, I know you're going to give me another chance, God, but I don't think this is the best way to go about this. Yet God used Moses, and God used Gideon, and God used Saul. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when God's plan is placed before us? If you want to receive the blessings, blessings come from obedience or for obedience. Blessings are because we did what God said, because we followed the plan. Back in Luke 5:5, Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night and caught no fishes. That's the way I remember it, because there's a song that said that in Vacation Bible School 100 years ago. Fished all night and caught no fishes. Those songs we learn in our youth teach a lot of Bible. You don't need to miss those songs in those Bible schools. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. The next word is paramount. Nevertheless, my experience doesn't matter anymore. My thoughts don't matter anymore. If this is what you want me to do, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Everything I know and believe says don't do it. You've just been there. There are no fish there. There's no reason to do this. It's a waste of time. You're tired. You fished all night. It's time to fix the nets and go take a nap. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. Where are you in God's plan for your life? Whether it makes sense to you or not, are you to the point where you say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. Because he's got a plan, and we have to respond to that plan. And Peter says in order to get the blessing, Peter has to do what the plan is. Verse 6 said, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled their partners on the other boats to come help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, and they began to sink because there were so many fish in there. I've made this observation before. I read the Bible a lot. Every time I read about this fishing business of theirs, they don't catch fish until Jesus comes in the picture. Until we follow the plan of God, we're not going to be successful. God has a plan to bless you. He has a plan not to harm you. But you've got to respond to that plan. You and I have to decide what it is we're going to do. By the way, I should tell you, I don't think the plan was about the fish. Jesus' plan for Peter was never about fishing for fish. And I don't think Jesus' plan for you is to fish for fish either. Let's watch it unfold. Verse 11. Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you'll catch men. Fished all night, caught no fishes. Nevertheless, at thy word, you want the blessing? Follow God's plan. So when they brought their boats to land, with the greatest catch of their lives, they walked away from fishing. Because God had bigger plans than fishing for their lives. I often think about that. It looked like to them that all their grandest wishes had been filled. More fish than they'd ever caught. The boats are sinking. I can see them getting out and pulling the boat because they didn't want to leave a single fish behind. And Jesus said, that's not the plan. I've got higher and holier things for you to do. One verse from Proverbs, and then the lesson is yours. Found in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. My question is a simple one this morning. Are you following God's plan? Are you allowing yourself the blessing that God is waiting to pour out in your life? Because you're ready to put our plans and our thoughts aside and follow Him. Lean not on your understanding, but follow His path. God has a plan for you. Maybe for some, you've never accepted the plan of salvation. You've never put on Christ. You've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? For others, you may have works of mission or of teaching or of sharing the gospel with your neighbor or giving a cup of cold water. Is God running your life, or are you running from God? Have you run away from God to where you need to come back? God has got a plan for your life. It's a plan to bless you, not to harm you. What will you do with the plan? This morning, if you need to make a change, if you need to put on Christ, if you need to come back to Christ, if we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?